Hey, welcome to Palm Sunday Encounter family. Let's give the Lord a hand today. In fact, we need to give an extra special hand to our Encounter children for that song they just led us with the palm. So give them a hand today. We're so thankful for our Encounter Kids team, so many volunteers across our campus every Sunday, and our Encounter leaders and Gloria and Michelle and Leslie, and just for how God is using them. And then you may or may not have noticed, but we have different youth helping out behind the scenes today. And so can we just give a hand for their Encounter students? And Bella on stage and different people. And you know that young guy doing the announcements? He looks a little bit like me with hair or something like that. I don't know. But we're thankful for Amanda. She's one of our student leaders with our youth ministry. And we just have an amazing group of volunteer servants who help with our youth. Well, if I haven't met you before, my name is Austin Gray, and I am the youth pastor. No, that's not true. Yeah, you know, Austin came down with a cold at the end of the week, and so I'm stepping in for him today. I was going to wear a wig with dark hair, but I couldn't find one in time. But I did have the privilege of hearing the beginning of his message a little earlier in the week before he got sick, and it was going to be a home run. So we'll get him back here at another time. So I'm going to have to channel my inner youth today, which isn't that hard for me, because I'm one of those people who feels like I never really got out of middle school. So I enjoy bathroom humor and all kinds of things. So, but I try to hold back while I'm preaching. Well, Palm Sunday kicks off the Holy Week, and it's this day where we enter into these holy days every year, leading to this journey that Jesus Christ took for us, all the way to the cross, to the grave, and out again. And we celebrate that on Good Friday. We celebrate that on Easter Sunday. And today we're going to look at Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 48, where we see this journey of the Passion Week, the Holy Week begins, where the Gospel of Luke describes the events of Palm Sunday and invites us to walk with the Lord as He walks through that week for us. Because one of the things that happens in life, and it happens without fail, is that we can be cruising along, and one way or another, we get knocked out of rhythm with the Lord. We get bucked off from the path that we are on, and all of a sudden, we find ourselves out of rhythm with God. And so we have these special times of the year, like Easter, like the Passion Week, like the Holy Week, where God invites us to get back in rhythm with Him. Now, I'm sure some of you have been bucked off in one way or another before. How many of you, I'm curious, this was really interesting in the last service. How many of you have ever been on a mechanical bull before? I'm just, raise your hands out there. Well, raise them high. I want to see high. Wow, that is awesome out there. Now, last service was more women than men. This service, it's pretty equal. And so maybe you've ridden a mechanical bull, or maybe you've just gotten bucked off in life recently. I had a friend where I grew up, and he actually owned a mechanical bull, the real deal. And so he would bring it to church events sometimes, and people loved it. I'm not sure our insurance carriers did, but the people loved it, and all these people would ride this thing. And I remember as a teenager seeing all these people riding this mechanical bull at this one church event, and when you're young, you think you can conquer everything. And I was watching all these people fly off of this thing, thinking, well, when I get on that, it's not going to be like that. I'm going to stay on that thing forever. And if you're not sure what a mechanical bull is, it's basically this metal contraption that looks like a bull. It has a leather saddle on it, and you can hold the horn just like you do normally. And then it has these different mechanical motions, and it goes this way, and then it also goes this way, and it has different speeds, and there's this big, you know, blow-up balloon mattress around it, so that when you fall off, and ultimately you will fall off, you are reasonably safe when you land on the ground. And I remember my friend, I got on, it was my turn, all the church was, family was cheering around as we, all these people were getting on this thing, and I got on, and he started me out nice and slow, and so you're going like this, and going around, and I'm feeling confident, and I was holding on to the horn of the saddle, put my arm in the air, like, you know, we see in the movies, you know, it's what you're supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, my friend gets that little glimmer in his eyes, you know, and all of a sudden, you just feel it starting to speed up and go this way and that way. But I was hanging on, I was still feeling pretty confident, but then he got this even brighter smile on his face. And you could see him turn those knobs up a little bit. Still wasn't full speed. And all of a sudden, you just saw panic in my face. Because you knew at some point you were going to go flying wildly off this thing. And it was really just a matter of question of when and how foolish you were going to look when you landed. And so you were flying off of that. But one of the things that's true, as was obvious before when I had you raise your hands, is you never forget your first bull ride, do you? And you never forget when you get bucked off for the first time. And when Luke chapter 19 starts describing Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, he is not riding a bull. He's not even riding a horse. He's riding a donkey, of all things. An untrained, never broken young donkey, which carries a whole lot of meaning we're going to look at in a little bit. So let's start to walk the journey of the Passion Week with Christ, because life has a way of throwing us off course sometimes, and the Holy Week is a great week to bring us back into the fullness of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? We're going to read Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 28, where Luke describes Palm Sunday, these series of events that we sometimes call the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, on the week that he would die for us on the cross and rise again on Easter Sunday. We're starting in verse 28, Luke chapter 19. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for a chance to gather as your church, to gather as a family. We thank you for every person in this room, those listening online, and even those who will listen later. Father, we thank you for our children who sang today and who they represent across our campus on Sunday mornings and in our communities. Lord, we thank you for the students of Encounter. And we thank you for the students of our community, Lord, and pray that many, many will be reached in the days and years to come through the lives represented in this room and to your glory. Father, we just love you as we celebrate Palm Sunday today, entering into Holy Week, and we just ask you to work in us right now. We ask you to welcome us into the journey that you walked so that we can follow you. Thank you, Lord. We give this time to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Well, I want you to imagine for a moment that we are in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday when Jesus shows up riding this young donkey on the first day of the Passover week celebration in Israel. And imagine the streets are crowded. And thousands of Jewish people have come in from all over the known world to celebrate the Passover week. And it is crowded everywhere. It is crowded in homes. In fact, you have people staying in your house that are relatives that you never knew were your relatives. And you have friends in your house, and the streets are crowded. The inns are crowded. The markets are crowded. It is like a week-long eighth grade sleepover in no one is sleeping, all right? There's just this buzz in the air because of all the great snacks that everyone's been eating. And you're celebrating how God delivered the Jews from slavery in Egypt, spared the Jewish firstborn, and delivered them from the hand of the Egyptians so many years before. And you're preparing to later in the week sacrifice the Passover lamb, to share a meal together and celebrating that God brought salvation to the people and judgment to Egypt so many years before when he brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And then you see Jesus riding in on this donkey coming into the heart of Jerusalem. And as soon as you see him, you're just like thinking, oh, I was hoping that I was going to get to see him. Because you've heard about him. You've heard the stories. And you've heard from one of your friends how he was at this wedding party and he turned water into wine at the end of the wedding. And it was the best wine of the party. You know, usually people leave the best wine, you know, serve it first, but he made the best wine for last. And you've heard stories how just recently, just literally right before, there were two people who couldn't see and now they could see. And people had come to him who couldn't walk their entire life, and he touched them, and now they are walking. And not only that, you've heard about how some of his teaching and how he's talked about this thing called repentance and baptism, and how if you follow him, you can have a living water where you never get thirsty again. And you're thinking to yourself, man, in this dry, dusty land, that sounds awful great to find. And not only that, there's this normal excitement of the Passover, but there is this buzz going around among all of your people that maybe Jesus might be the one. Maybe he will be the one to deliver the people of Israel from Roman oppression. And as you see Jesus riding on this donkey into the heart of Jerusalem, the roar of the people is getting louder and louder and louder. It's like, you know, it's just getting so loud. Like if you thought there was some, you know, yelling last night at that game when San Diego State made that final score, by the way, how many of you saw that game? Just curious out there. Yeah, a number of you. I only saw that last part. That was worth it right there. But if you thought that was loud, I mean, it is loud. And you may have come to Jerusalem not really with a heart to worship, but as you're watching the people around you and you're seeing Jesus riding this colt, there's something stirring in your life. Like, man, I've been missing something my whole life. And all of a sudden, even though you weren't yelling and cheering before, you start getting caught up into the emotion. And this is what we read in verse 37. And Jesus was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, and the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And part of starting the Passion Week is to move from this place where we have hard hearts sometimes, where we actually have hearts that are open to worship and to wonder again. And Jesus says this in Luke 19, verse 39. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And the people begin turning to each other and they're saying, maybe he's the one. Maybe this Jesus from Nazareth is the one, that he's the king. He has to be. He just healed those two people who couldn't see, and it was incredible. And he begins to ride down this steep hill on this donkey that's never been ridden before. And as he descends the Mount of Olives, people are waving palm branches and they're shouting. And you know, you're looking at it and come down on this young donkey colt and you're thinking, you know, if I were a king and I were coming into Jerusalem, I'd probably come in on a limo. You know, one of those camo limos that they have in Jerusalem. And not just any camo limo, but a stretch camo limo, like a five-hump limo or something like that. But no, Jesus isn't on a camo limo or a stretch limo. He's not on a horse. He's on this donkey, this baby donkey that's never been ridden before. And all of a sudden, you remember the words of your rabbi. You've heard spoken them many, many times before. The words from Zechariah that were written hundreds of years before that say this in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10. You've heard it in the temple read over and over again. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold. And by the way, a little reading trick for you. Whenever you're publicly reading scripture and you come to the word behold, sometimes the only way to really catch the force of what's going on in the Bible is for after I say behold and go like this, you have to say behold back to me as loud as you can. All right? So I'm going to give you a run at this. All right? Here we go. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold. Well, that was great. Your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, Encounter, I realize that the majority of us in the room are not ranchers, but a few of you are. A few of you have horses and goats and different things. You know, you might have a few cattle. I don't know. A few of you out there do. But most of us, we live in the city. We're suburban people. But even though we are city people, most of us know that whenever you ride a baby donkey that has never been ridden by anyone else before and anyone gets on it, what's supposed to happen? Yeah, you get bucked off, just like I was bucked off that mechanical bull. And here's this silly, young, unbroken donkey. It could easily throw off its first rider, let alone calmly ride down the hill as people are yelling and clapping and singing and waving branches around it. And here he comes walking and riding down towards the center of Jerusalem with all this cheering and yelling. And this ride that Jesus takes into Jerusalem, it's pointing to who Jesus Christ is as Savior. And it's also pointing how one day he's going to come back again after the cross, after the resurrection, after the ascension. One day Jesus Christ is going to come back again. And all nature is going to be restored to him. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 tells us about it. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and the little child shall lead them, for the earth shall be full of knowledge, and the Lord as the water covers the sea. And then Isaiah 55 adds this for all who respond to Jesus Christ as Savior and what we'll experience on that day when the Lord returns. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. One day, when Jesus comes back, all of nature will be restored to him and as he comes back to judge the earth. And remember, Jesus actually pointed to this earlier in the book of Luke. Jesus is out on a boat and there's a storm out there and the sea is raging. And with a word, Jesus speaks and he calms the sea. Because he is the Lord of the sea and he's the Lord of the storm. And all of creation is going to one day praise him. Because like that young donkey, that young donkey knows exactly who is on his back. And who was on his back that day is the great garden maker himself. The Lord of creation. The master of creation himself. And one day this donkey knows that all nature is going to sing with him and dance. And just like all that palm waving that happened just a moment ago, when Jesus Christ returns again, the trees are going to dance, but on their own. And we are going to dance and sing with him. And by the way, that's going to be a miracle for me. Okay, I'm just letting you know because I have no rhythm. All of the rhythm that God could have given to me, he gave to my wife and to my three children. And you know, I really don't think it's fair. But one day, when Christ comes back again or when I get to heaven, I am going to dance and I'm going to sing. And when I sing, it's going to be on tune and that's going to be a miracle as well. So just saying that when Christ returns. And this moment is pointing to that. And so many other things about who Christ is and what he came to do and what it means for all of history that one day we are looking forward to when Christ comes back again. And yet, what is it that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, say to Jesus when his disciples are singing, "Blessed is the King who comes"? This is what Jesus says to them, verse 39. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And part of the journey that God wants every one of us to walk on this Holy Week, starting on Palm Sunday, is to move from a place where if we have hard hearts, where our hearts are open to Him once again, open to the wonder and the amazingness of worship in front of Him. Because if we do not, the Bible says, surely the rocks will cry out. Especially if you've gotten thrown off course somewhere along the way or bucked off somewhere along the way. And as you're hearing all this happen in Jerusalem, you then see Jesus heading down to the very heart of Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, the words of Zechariah that you heard from your rabbi when you went to temple come to mind. The words from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10, where we read this, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And as you're hearing that, you think to yourself, maybe this Jesus is the one, that He is the King who's going to come at Passover and judge the ungodly and bring everlasting peace, which is why the Holy Week always invites us to move from a fortress mentality to an open door mentality as well. Because as the people are singing their ancient Passover song and saying, bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord, and that right as all this is happening, all of Israel all of a sudden is beginning to taste independence on their lips. And they're saying, yeah, this Jesus has come to judge the ungodly. And those Romans are going to get it just like the Egyptians did so long ago. And you begin to think that Jesus, as He's riding down this hill towards the heart of Jerusalem, you begin to hope that maybe He is riding down towards the fortress that was named Antonia, which was in the heart of Jerusalem. This fortress that was named after the great Antony, this war general of the Roman Empire. And the Romans had literally built this huge fortress named Antonia. It was literally right next to the temple in Jerusalem, which was the heart of their spirituality and the heart of their worship, their heart as a nation. And literally this fortress, this Roman fortress, cast a shadow over the Israelites' temple to remind everyone not to get any ideas of independence. And yet, despite that crippling political power of the Romans, the Jews had never given up hope. And the ancient prophecies said a Savior would come, that a king would someday ride into Jerusalem to deliver God's people from the evil of the ungodly. But little did they understand that all of us on some level are ungodly. That all of us are rebellious on some level before a holy God. That all of us come equal to the foot of the cross. And seeing all this, you keep thinking of Zechariah's prophecy where it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold. That was only okay out there, right? You know, sometimes you're proud of your church. Sometimes you're working on it. I'm going to give you another run at it. O daughter of Jerusalem, behold. Your king is coming to you, righteous and having a Savior is He, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And maybe this is the day that you and your people have been praying for centuries. Because for centuries, the Israelites had been under the boot of Rome. For centuries, they had basically been a puppet state. They didn't even have a king. Rome wouldn't let them have a king. And just as you're expecting Jesus as He's riding gently, softly on this donkey colt down this hill to the heart of Jerusalem, you can't help but think He's heading right to this fortress. But as He gets to the fortress in the heart of Jerusalem, He goes right past it. And all of a sudden you're thinking, does He need Google Maps because He missed it? And He goes right into the temple of Jerusalem, and He begins overturning the tables of the money changers. And it's almost like at that moment where He begins to do that, when He walks past the fortress and into the temple of God, that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, whispers the words of Isaiah 56 to you that say this, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from His people. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples, a house of prayer for all nations. And Encounter family, may we note that when Jesus goes into the temple and begins overturning the money tables, he quotes part of Isaiah 56, because somewhere along the way, in the history of the Israelite people, the purpose of the temple had been lost. Because the purpose of the temple was created by God to be this place where people from all nations could come and hear about the Messiah. And they could learn about the grace of God through this Messiah who was going to come and pay a debt in their place. But somewhere along the way, that got lost. And now people from other nations who were non-Jews had to wait outside the walls of the temple. And only the Jewish people could go in. And we're going to talk about what overturning the money tables means in a moment. But one of the things that he came to do was to move us from a fortress mentality in life as the people of God to having an open door mentality. Now, I know that we are well out of the whole COVID experience. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I'm really glad about that. But sometimes I wonder if there's still a shadow of that period of time over us. Because sometimes I feel like we still have a little bit of this fortress protective mentality around us. In fact, I was thinking about it. I grew up in a smaller town. It wasn't big. It wasn't really tiny either. But it was this town where you went to school with a bunch of kids in elementary school, and you were with the same students in middle school and the same students in high school. And as adults, you all knew each other. And people in our church had known a lot of people for a long time. And we always thought of ourselves as a super friendly church. But sometimes someone new would come to the church and get to know Christ or come new to the community. And one of the things I learned over time is that we weren't always as friendly as we thought we were. That sometimes we had a little bit of an unknown fortress mentality where our groups weren't as open as maybe we thought they were, or our friendship circles weren't as open as we thought we were. And God is always reminding us that there's always room for one more in our life because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Always. There's always room for one more in a group. There's always room for one more in a circle of friends, no matter how far back it goes. And there's always more room for us to understand how we can reach the nations right around us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And part of being a Christ follower is always growing in that. And Jesus is always speaking to us about these things. And one of the things I've learned is, especially at a time of year like this, because it's Easter. Easter's a week away. We're going to be celebrating Easter Sunday next week. And like was shared earlier, there's probably one person in your life that keeps coming to mind. And I just want that you might invite to Easter Sunday. And I just want you to know, if there's that person, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Might be a friend, it might be a neighbor, might be a coworker, someone that will not end up at church on Easter Sunday without the invite of someone that God's placed in their life. And here's the beautiful thing. Sometimes we think there's not a way to reach certain people, but you know what? We worship the great garden maker himself. We worship the Lord of creation, the master of creation. And part of the journey is inviting him to lead us and to open our lives to others in his name, and to not even have a fortress mentality, even sometimes without realizing that we have it, and having a heart of love to reach the nations right around us. It's part of the reason why a couple Sundays from now, right after Easter, we're having a Go Sunday. We're going to talk about reaching the nations across the street and around the world. And we're going to have some different opportunities that you can serve in and be a part of to have a growing heart for reaching the nations for Christ. And I honestly couldn't think of a better sequence than to go from Easter Sunday, where Christ rises, we celebrate him rising from the dead, to go into a Great Commission Sunday and talking about going to reach the world for Christ. And so he marches right past the fortress of Antonia and right into the temple, and he starts throwing down the money tables, reminding us that the Passion Week also invites us to move from sin to living a new life. Look at verse 45. And he entered the temple, and he began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." It's really fascinating. I read a Bible teacher a while back, and they were talking about that phrase, a den of robbers. And they said something so fascinating. They said, you know, that term den of robbers isn't really referring to the fact that all of the people were trading and selling things in church, and church had become more of a business than a place of gathering. And what this person suggested was that that was really the symptom of the main problem that Jesus was addressing. Because what they said was a den of robbers is that place that thieves go to hide out after they've committed all their crimes, before they're going to go back the next week and commit all their crimes again and go back into society. And it's where people have committed crimes against God all week long go to and hide out, and they carry out their religious activities and they sing and they do prayers, but they're not really changing their lives. And part of what Jesus is saying is, don't be a religious bank robber who does crimes all week long and then hangs out at church on Sunday, but your life never really changes along the way. And he's speaking it to that. And the church was never intended to be a hideout, but a movement of people who are the hands and feet of Christ. And the church was always meant to be this place where we come and we can confess our sin. And we can walk out new people in the power of God's grace. And it's this place where we can come, and it's not just a gathering, but it's this place where after we gather, we're renewed for what God has for the week ahead of us in life. And so I have an important question for us as we end, because Jesus says this at the end of the passage in verse 47, and Jesus was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. You know, it's said that there's probably 100 reasons why the Jewish leadership, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and, you know, all these religious leaders in Jerusalem, there's probably 100 reasons why they wanted to crucify Jesus. But most historians say this: if there was one thing that caused them to want to begin the process of crucifying Jesus Christ, it was when he walked into their temple and began to overturn those money tables, calling them out as a religious leadership. And it got me to thinking, you know, what would be the one table that God might overturn in my life or your life? Not 100 tables, but the one table that he would turn over to launch us into the fullness of walking with Christ this Holy Week, this Passion Week, as we approach Easter. There might be 100 things that you might think I need to work on in your life, but if there was one table that God would want to turn over to just set you free to follow him, what would it be? Because he's inviting you to walk his path with him this week and to move from a hard heart to a heart of wonder and worship. Because if we don't, the very stones will cry out. And move from a fortress mentality to an open door mentality, with a heart to reach the nations for Christ and our neighbors and our co-workers and our friends, and to move from sin to living a new life where we may come to church as a robber, but when we leave in the newness of who Jesus Christ is. Would you pray with me? You know, before I pray, I invite you just to have a conversation with God between you and him. And just to ask him, Lord, this Easter, as I approach the Holy Week, if there's one table you would turn over in my life, what would it be? Something to set you free into this week. And if he brings something to mind, just give it to him. Receive his grace and commit to walking out of here in the newness of life that he's given you. And as was shared earlier, maybe God is bringing the name of one person in your life. It's a Holy Spirit nudge for you to invite to church this Easter. Just pray for them right now. Ask God to give you a moment to just welcome them in and invite them this weekend. Father God, we just thank you for sending your son Jesus to walk the journey for us and that we get to follow him. We thank you for Palm Sunday that reminds us that one day your son Jesus Christ is coming back again. And the trees are going to clap and they're going to sing and we are going to sing and we look forward to that day. In the meantime, Lord, we thank you that you walk with us every step, and I pray your presence over the people today and ask you to lead us. We love you, dear Jesus. We look forward to the week ahead. We give you our communities and our families and our friends. In Jesus' name, amen.